Some high-profile and even low-profile inmates in our prisons are reportedly being able to run criminal operations from behind bars using cell phones. This week, local government has highlighted the issue, urging the Correctional Services Minister, Pieter Groenewald, to consider signal-blocking technology at Paulsmoor Prison to stop crimes being coordinated from with inside our correctional facilities. We're joined online now by Simon Howell, a criminologist, just to unpack this matter. Simon, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us here on VOC Breakfast.
Hi, good morning.
Simon, we've seen a whole lot of crackdowns on correctional facilities, not just here in the Western Cape, but across South Africa. And whenever we see or hear of these crackdowns, they are lots of cell phones that are come out of images that are being confiscated, which is it's illegal for inmates to have that. And how do we see this still happening, and how are these cell phones getting into our prisons?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, it is a significant issue. I think in a parliamentary briefing recently, it was noted that it was something like 41,000 phones that were discovered in the last few months. So it's, you know, I mean, it remains an issue and has always been an issue, and it's a function of both poor security, corruption, and other forms of infiltration by organized crime. So is that, you know, it's difficult to control, but in South Africa, it's a particular problem in the sense that, you know, so many people have cell phones there.
Mm-hmm. Then that leads me then to the question: do you think that blocking cell phone signal is a practical and also an effective solution to curb, you know, criminal activity coordinating from inside prisons?
Well, it's not as simple as both legally and practically as can be made out. So on the one hand, you know, ICASA is pretty clear, and our communication laws are pretty clear that the use of cell phone jamming technology, other than in very limited instances for state security, is illegal. So there is that. And, you know, I mean, you could argue perhaps that this is a form of state security, and that would be one loophole to get around. But the other issue is that, you know, it's jamming is a bit of a misnomer in the sense that it's actually more akin to flooding, in the sense that what you do is you create a fake cell phone network that is far stronger than anything around you, and it just prevents people or prevents cell phones from accessing the normal networks. That's a problem because it's very difficult to contain radio frequencies in that way. So is that you find that when people deploy these type of technology, it also jams a signal or floods the signal for you know, an area around the prisons, which is fine if that prison may be located in an isolated area. But in a city like Paulsmoor, for instance, it would be very difficult to contain it in a manner that doesn't also interrupt or disrupt the service signals for outside of the prisons.
Mm-hmm, that's true. And then this would then look like an extreme measure for the if we're looking at it like that, you know, to implement these jamming signals. And it also raises the questions on they possibly could be workarounds, you know, even for signal blockers.
Yeah, I mean, there are various ways to deal with it. There are also different types of technology. There are more selective types of flooding technology, which only concentrates on specific bands that may be of use. And there is also the option of implementing a type of system that, rather than try to prevent the signal, locates the signal. So in other words, it triangulates where it is exactly, and then you can send in people to go find the cell phone. But of course, you know, in a highly dense, very overpopulated prison population that even of in and of itself is quite difficult to do because there's just so many people inside each prison cell.
Mm-hmm. Are there any examples of you know, jamming, well, signal cell phone jams happening locally or internationally where we've seen it actually working or reducing prison related crime?
In some instances, it has been used successfully, but mostly in prisons that are isolated from or in, you know, remote areas or somehow not a part of any other community. So, I mean, in those instances, it's possible purely because, you know, I mean, the distance allows for it to occur. In cities and the like, it's very difficult to implement. A few countries have tried. There is the option of using different types of technology in together, but I mean, mostly, I mean, it really comes down to good old fashioned enforcement and control of you know, access and control of what people are bringing into the prisons, and that, you know, you don't really need any high technology for it. You just need a lot of discipline and good control.
Mm. No, certainly, I know that the Department of Correctional Services is this week having a well, hosting a summit with regards to parole reform, and just speaking about the concerns raised around how jailing, you know, perpetrators or criminals are not enough. And I'm sure that will be a topic of discussion as well. But from a criminologist's perspective, crime prevention is something that a lot of people is saying we need to buckle down with here in South Africa. What else do you see our government and, you know, our criminal justice system doing beyond incarceration?
Well, I mean, you know, incarceration is typically seen as a default response in this country rather than being the last response, which is what it should be. I think we tend to look at incarceration as a just way of dealing with things. And it's frankly, it's often not an effective way of punishing people or dealing with the issues. And it's certainly not a way of dealing with the systematic and social issues that ultimately lead to a lot of crime in this country. So while it has a place and a role, it is often overutilized in this country, and you know, it's not the type of response that you need to further develop communities and further develop people so as that they don't commit crime in the first place. And that's, you know, ultimately I think where we should focus our attention is preventing people from engaging in crime by giving them viable lifestyle opportunities and, you know, alternatives, so as that prisons become superfluous rather than becoming necessary.
Mm-hmm. Simon, just as a point of departure, in your view, does the current correctional system lean too heavily on punishment rather than rehabilitation?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the books, it looks like it leans towards, you know, rehabilitation, but I think purely by virtue of lack of resources and complete overcrowding, it tends to be mostly just about prohibition and punishment. Mm-hmm. And as such, you know, it doesn't serve an effective role in dealing with these issues.
Yeah, no, certainly. Simon Hall, thank you so much for coming online or joining us on VOC Breakfast this morning, just to unpack some of the concerns raised around the effectiveness of blocking cell signal in correctional facilities. We do appreciate it.